All greetings this morning in the precious name of Jesus. I am thankful to be here in the midst of all you brothers and sisters. And yes, it is a special day, and for many reasons, it's a day that the Lord hath made. And then we have a day that we're gathering here to with brothers and sisters, and that is, I also look forward to these mornings. And then we do have a day that's the Father's Day, and I don't thank you, Andy, for what you shared there. I don't have a message on Father's Day, although I thought that what I do have here is it. We need it as much as any us as fathers. This morning, I was my children gave me a little something for Father's Day, and Tina told Conrad to tell me Happy Father's Day, and he said, "Wait," and said, "What?" And she said it again, and then he just quickly interpreted that and says, "You need to be a happy father." So, but it spoke to me, because what do our children want? You know, that's we as dads can carry burdens and disappointments and But if we can somehow, not take those into our children's lives in sense of still being a joyful father in our homes, I think that I just meditated on that a little bit after he said that, and I know there's many important things, but that will go a long way in bringing joy in our home. And it spoke to me, because I know that I have need of that. I have a way of letting things wear me down, and then those around me can feel it too. But may God help us to be a happy father in our homes, so that our children can have that atmosphere of a joyful daddy in the home. So, yeah, blessings and to everyone. And one other thing, that song, "We're Marching to Zion," brought back, and I think this, we don't sing it real often, but think about every time we sing that, back in, it was after the Twin Towers, a year or so later. Why, I went with a group of people, couples mostly, to New York City. It was Fellowship Haven, and then their sister church in Hicksville. And there was me and two or three others of us. We were all just, I think we might have even still been going to the Amish church, and didn't have a lot of fellowship with Bible study. So there was a whole bus load of us, and they did a lot of singing. And that was one of the songs that it made me feel like, gave me a glimpse of heaven there, that just so many people, they were all singing it by heart, and that just spoke volumes. And so as I thought about that, and I just reflected back, just real quick there, that's, I don't know what year it was, 2002 or 3, but where am I today? What does that song do to me today? What does gathering with brothers and sisters do to me today? And that takes me to what I want to share here. And the title of the few thoughts I have here is "Little Choices and Big Consequences." Little choices and big consequences. And we hear a lot of this, and I think of it a lot. So if it's a thought you have a lot, why, forgive me for saying it again, but it is something that I think is a make or break so to speak, in our Christian walk. If we're jumping around looking for the big things, waiting to do the right thing when they're big things, and not paying attention to the little things, I'm afraid the consequences are not going to be so well. If we're making right choices in the big things, and then in the many, many little things, well, I think those consequences are going to be very rewarding. So it did take me back to think of that, where just reflected back of some of my thought pattern back then, and it took a lot of decisions, and probably a lot of decisions that were probably not so good that caused stumblings in my Christian journey. But I am thankful where God has me today, and the most thankful part of that is that I am looking forward to what He'll continue to work. I've seen what He has done in me, and I look forward to what He will continue to do in all of us. But we'll read a few scriptures here. In Matthew 4, 26 through 29. I'm sorry, it's Mark. Couldn't find 29. Okay. And again, very familiar scriptures. So this is just to remind us again. And He said, "So is the kingdom of God, as if a man should cast seed into the ground and should sleep and rise night and day, and the seed should spring up and grow, and he knoweth not how. For the earth bringeth forth fruit of herself, first the blade, then the ear, after that the full corn in the ear. But when the fruit is brought forth, immediately he putteth in the sickle, because the harvest is come." If we jump down to 30, continue to 30. "And he said, whereunto shall we liken the kingdom of God, or with what comparison shall we compare it? Is it like a grain of mustard seed, which when it soweth in the earth is less than all the seeds that be in the earth? But when it is sown, it groweth up and becometh greater than all the herbs, and shooteth out great branches, so that the fowls of the air may lodge under and the shadow of it." So I read these verses, and we can think of a young person. I thought of a young person, maybe just getting born again. Maybe the way seems big. Maybe the cross seems big. Maybe they see others, other young people. Maybe they hear other young people pray, and they wonder if they'll be able to pray. Maybe they hear other young people share. Wonder if they can ever share in that way. But also, I thought about ourselves and those that have been walking with God for years. Maybe it's an area of our life that we need to look at, an area, a need in our life that we see that others are maybe prospering in. So maybe those are the little things as well that take little choices. Maybe that's that little blade of grass, and yet we see that it can be a full ear of corn. We see the potential there. Wherever we find ourselves, I'm convinced that good changes don't come by leaps and bounds, but little by little, as we make deliberate choices, will there be big consequences. Now, we know that it takes a start. We know that we need to, for those that to be born again for those that are walking the wrong way. So we know it takes a start, but then it little by little seems like the choices we make will be the result of the consequences that we face, good or bad. Let's be like that seed in the parable. We sleep and rise night and day, night and day, night and day. And the seed starts to spring and grow up, and we hardly know how. It's such small steps, but then cometh forth first that little blade, then later the ear, and then later the full ear of corn. Or like that smallest seed of all seeds, little by little it grows, and all of a sudden you have this maturity that exceeds greater than we can ever imagine. So we can think of young people as they grow in their Christian walk, but let's think about our little needs, our big needs, needs that we have that we sometimes just can't feel like we can overcome. Little by little, then maybe we'll see a little blade coming. And then maybe later the ear, we'll start seeing an ear in our life. But it needs to start with little choices that we make towards the things that we're facing. And this sounds good and so nice, but without little choices for the good, day after day after day, the consequences will be awfully disappointing. I had to think of the verse in Galatians 5, 16 and 17. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that you would. These verses should be, these are things that we should, these verses I thought are, as we go from our day-to-day walk, these should be in our minds. These should be easy, I put down, these should be easy to reach for in our minds as we face things, because we need to be reminded all the time that we face little choices that the spirit and flesh are enmity or contrary one to another. And the warfare is always there. As a brother prayed for that this morning, that warfare that is always there. We have an enemy that is there to steal, kill, and destroy as we face little choices. One of the startling verses that I thought of when I was thinking this is the 2 Corinthians 11, 13, 15. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. So here we have, as we make choices from day to day, the things that whatever we face, we have an enemy that is bargaining for our soul. And it's not always a day and night difference. It's not always an easy choice. And then in Corinthians here it tells us that Satan is transformed into an angel of light. And I don't know that I meditated on that as much as I did when I was preparing for this, but our enemy can be transformed into an angel of light. And That roused me up when I thought of that, and I thought of the verses in Ephesians 5:15-17. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And these things don't sound real encouraging, I realize that. But we have the modern day gospel that is preaching an easy way, an easy, carefree way, and it is not that way. We'll have more here on God being there for us. But if we're not aware of the enemy and what he is trying to do for everything that he is trying for our souls, and because If he takes one soul, especially if it's us as dads or moms, why, there's often he can get families. And so I'm just reminding us all, and I know we know these things, but I'm just reminding us all again to let's remember as we make little choices. And there's things in my own life that I know that choices are, that I haven't always made wise choices. So then I was looking at, there's a lot of different Bible characters that we could have talked about. But just briefly looking at Lot, just in bad choices, when him and Abram had to separate, when we think of the big picture of Abram, I think he was Lot's uncle. So he was obviously older, and the things Abram went through till now, and he had seen a lot. And even though Abram asked him which direction he wanted to go, wouldn't we think that Lot would have gotten some advice from his uncle? I was trying to think of that, the practical side of that whole situation there when him and Lot came face to face there with a decision that they need to separate. And sometimes we can just be quick to make a decision without taking all the factors or all the to contemplate all things. And it appears kind of like that's what he did. But because it appears like he based his decision on the fact that the land was nice, it was well watered, and he also the land was close to the city. Because later it says he pitched his tent close to the city, so I believe there was things there that his heart was drawn to. But before long, he was directly involved in the city, and we see the destruction soon came. And there would be a lot more that we could talk about in detail there with that and all those decisions. But we see just a few wrong decisions there destroyed his family. And we as dads, maybe I'm talking more to dads here than I realized I was going to be, but we as dads, we have little choices with our families, our church, our business, our occupation, just our day-to-day things with our children. And so we're always making decisions. But let's strive to be sensitive to God's direction in our decisions, because our decisions will often affect many around us. We have so many scriptures, and then along with God's word, so we have what we read in God's word, but then along with that, we can look around, and all of us probably know people that have made wrong choices and are dealing with their big consequences. We see examples in God's word, plus our short time we live, it manifests little choices that lead to bad consequences. So if all we had was the word and had all the decisions that some of these people made that failed, should be enough. But we have it right here in our day to day that we live in, because we've all seen that, to where families have not ended up, or maybe young people have not ended up where they thought they were going to, and it started with decisions. I read a quote once that says, "What we learn from history is that most people don't learn from history." And I know that's not scripture, but what we learn from history is that most people don't learn from history. And that's in light of paths that we've seen, choices being made that led to bad consequences. Another quote along with that is that to acquire knowledge, one must study, but to acquire wisdom, one must observe. And there again, that could be torn apart there, but because wisdom is from above, so we know how to acquire that. But if we look around and see, it's before eyes, just like it is, just like we can read. It all agrees with each other. So young men and ladies, young ladies, look around and observe. If we don't want to end up places that we don't like, that we don't like what we see, it needs to start with the little decisions, because they will have consequences. If we think we can dabble in a few poor choices because we have a good hold of things, or because they reason out in our head, I'm afraid the big consequences will be big and ugly. When you're in front of a mirror, young person, maybe even old people struggle with this, when you're in front of a mirror, what goes through our mind as you're dressing, combing your hair, whatever it may be, you are constantly making decisions there. And then those thoughts and decisions, sometimes they're happening really fast. And Satan is right there too. Satan is geared up. But then God is also usually there gently poking, putting the things in your mind. I know what dad or mom think. I know what my heart is in this situation. But is it really that big of a deal? There's just all these things that can come to us. But you see, the decisions you are facing, they will have consequences. As little as they may seem, they will have consequences. What about our thought pattern? Think evil of no man. How often do we maybe start thinking something negative of someone, and the nudge comes that we should not have those thoughts, but we quickly scramble for some justification on our thoughts instead of making one little choice. I'm not going there. Or an offense comes our way. We feel this inkling of bitterness creeping in. Again, God, in his longing to direct our thoughts, lets us be aware that we don't want to let this bitterness come in, because he puts in our minds, these things are, so often we're reminded about these things and we can somehow just push that back and just keep feeding that little bit of bitterness, that little bit that wants to enter in. Because we know where it can lead, and again, we have this moment, sometimes seconds, to make a decision. Often so little of a decision, but oh, such a big difference in the consequences. Each one of us, I believe, can think of someone who we personally know that was a blessing in the kingdom of God. Body of believers that today may be sitting at home with such bitterness that they can't get along with anyone or very few people. And most of the time we see their children are destroyed as well. It would have been hard for Satan to destroy that family in a few short weeks, a few short months, even a few years. But give it year after year after year after year. And these little choices, his tactics almost always work for the ones who are willing to give in to the little choices that are against God's will for our life. What small choices are we making today? What choices are we making to guard our purity? I know of a man my age that I ran around with him, that as a young man he was given into personal impurity. And it started with one choice that he went against what he knew was not right. He'll talk about these things. And he would say he justified it and thought he was strong enough. But little by little, it overcame him to where he had no control over it. Young men, it's don't let Satan fool you. He will always take you further. And we know this. And he would always, this young man would always think to himself, once and he was bound by it, that once he gets married, things will change. He would have control, maybe better control over himself. But he got married. He went his way into his married life to the point to where he realized the trouble he was in. And upon bringing it out, why he needed almost daily counsel and accountability from some brothers in his congregation. Now to this day, I believe he's an overcomer. But my point is, it started with a little choice that had bigger consequences than he could ever imagine. So remember that, young men, dads, as we make these choices. James 1, 14 through 16, but every man is tempted when he's drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Do not err, my beloved brethren. There'd be many more examples in Scripture of ways that Satan offers bad choices to us from day to day, but we'll let it at that. I'd like to look at the good choices, the little things that we can recognize, the little things that we make right choices. And speaking of little things, I don't have this in my notes, but this morning I had to walked. The cows were in the field furthest back to the woods, so it was a little walk there. And as I was walking back there, I thought to myself, I'm going to observe here and see if I can see. Maybe sometimes we have bald eagles, or maybe I'll see something big or something along the side, something I could that God would show me that it would relate to this message. And so I was looking around and thinking as I was walking and watching, and all of a sudden I found myself on the way back, and nothing out of the ordinary happened. I was ended up chasing my cows up, but I was almost up when I started looking at the grass, and I walked by our hen house. The chickens were just out doing their thing, and some thorns, some flowers on it. And all of a sudden I started realizing, I looked at the sky, all of a sudden I started realizing the many little things that are right here around me. And so often we miss those things. And yes, in God's overall love and care, many things he does for us, the creation, we just don't have to look far. And I was missing all that, looking for the bigger thing. But my point is even in these little choices, these little things that come our way, I just see God working in the little things in so many ways. So praise the Lord for that. Let's look for the little things. But now for the good choices that we can make, we all know the verse, without a vision, people perish. And sometimes we pray, Lord, give us a vision. Give us a right vision. But I think to myself at times, maybe all the time, I need to pray, Lord, with the vision you give us an unction to make the right choices to pursue that vision. Because we can pray for all the vision we want, but unless we are pursuing right choices, the vision won't get us very far. As we come up against little choices, God has a way of putting roadblocks in our life or chastisement. And there can be disappointments. If we are sensitive to his leading, we will not fight against those, but will trust his nudging or leading us, because we know God will do all he can in his ways to not let us go down the wrong direction. And that is where the love of God has us knowing, and I know we know so little of the actual love of God. It is so much greater than what we will ever know. But that is what is going to keep us in these choices. That is what's going to keep us. God has so many ways of keeping us so that we can be thankful that we have the Creator of heaven and earth on our side. He's all for the heart that desperately wants his will. So in all these things that we talked about, there we just have so much for us. There is just no room to despair on our dilemma, because God will go the extra mile. God will go all the way for the heart that wants that. But what changes that is if we deliberately start making choices that I know that's right, but maybe later I'm going to do this for now. And God has a hard time. I don't know if that's a correct term or not, but God wants a heart that is willing to, that says amen to what he brings us. Abram had to make a choice in his mind how to see him and Lot separate. So I was reading there about Lot, and it just made me think of Abram a little bit. Now, to me, it would appear that Abraham had more possession than Lot. So would it not have made sense for him to go to the well-watered land? But he chose to give Lot the choice. Not sure if you could call that a little choice, but he came face to face with it and had to work through that choice. The Bible doesn't give much of how long he was contemplating it, but we can be fairly sure that it's not just something he pulled out of his hat at the spur of the moment. But then we see right after the separation, we see God giving Abram all the land and telling him how great of a number his seed will be. We see blessings upon blessings from a little choice. Again, there could be so much more in Abram's life and his decisions, but the choice did not look favorable in his earthly possessions, maybe, but he did what was right. Set your affections on things above and not on things of the earth, and little choices that will have good consequences. And that's, we should be thinking that. That's what determines choices in our day-to-day living, facing thing after thing, is if our affections are things of above. Godliness with contentment is great gain. Here's one that takes constant small choices. Contentment. Do I really need that? Do I really need to go there again? Will the one I have be okay? Do we want gain? Do we want any gain or little gain or some gain, or do we want great gain? Praise the Lord for his direction on how to achieve great gain in our godliness. Little choices and being content, big consequences. Our daily prayer, devotion, little choices. Being thankful in little things that will lead us to being very thankful person when our surroundings are maybe in a mess or we face difficult situations. Maybe didn't finish all them thoughts, but just thinking if we make choices to be thankful in the little things, then when big things come, I think we can be easily or thankful, because we see people being thankful when their life is a total, you wonder how a godly person, you know, situations come, and yet there can be a joy amongst them. And it didn't start when they waited until this big thing came in their life. So let's be thankful in the little things. So may God bless you. Thank you for listening. And we care a lot about all of you.